Mark One, welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love Him. I thank God for what He's doing. The Lord is coming back, folks. He's coming back, and He wants to find His people without spot or wrinkle, just like Him. Without the interest of the world system. You know, our enemy Satan is clever. You can't forget that. If he went around trying to get people to say, hey, come to hell, I'm just going to burn you up forever, and that'll be the end of you, he wouldn't have any business. You know, if he said, well, let your children do anything they want to, don't tell them anything about Jesus, because I want to kill them. I want to burn them up in hell forever. He wouldn't have any business. He's smarter than that. you know one thing about it. You have to learn your enemy. Your enemy used to be an angel. He's going to present something good to you, something that's opposite of God's will. So something you'll go for. It's just like a fisherman. You know, they use bait that the fish will go for. I grew up in the East Lake area, and you'll see a lot of people fishing with bread because people used to feed bread to the ducks, and the fish were accustomed to eating bread. So if you wanted to fish at East Lake, you had to use bread because that's what worked at East Lake. But so many people fished it, the fish would be kind of small, but there were people who knew where the big fish were too. And they didn't just use worms and minnows, they used bread also. So what I'm saying is this. Don't let the enemy bait you. Destroy your interest in the world system. And it'll be impossible for him to sucker you into it. But first of all, you have to love God. You have to love His ways, love His word, love His will. Learn who He is for yourself. There are so many good and wonderful good preachers out there. They love God, and they love His people. And they're out there. You got to find them. There are also hirelings out there. I hate to say it, but some preachers are hirelings. And they're out there as well. But God knows His people. And if you want to know Him, if you want to know the Lord, and you want to go to a good, strong church, you have to pray and ask God where to go. And even when you get there, don't think it's going to be perfect. It's a place where you can be a blessing and they'll be a blessing to you. And we grow together. That's how it works. But if you don't want to be interested in the world, you have to learn who Jesus is. And if you don't understand your enemy, it'll be hard to fight him. Satan is your enemy. He's not your friend. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Anybody that he deceives, he can manipulate them to do what he does. And then they'll come to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, they may not shoot you with bullets and guns, but if you have a good idea, how many times you have a good idea, you know it'll work, and you can't get anybody to believe in it? Because their advice will kill or steal. Some people will see it's a good idea and steal the idea for themselves. That's satanic. That's how Satan operates. So you have to keep a secret. Colonel Sanders made that good old Kentucky Fried Chicken that most people love. I tell you, I like it. But he kept the 11 herbs and spices a secret. See, the enemy come to kill, steal, and destroy. If he posted his recipe, he wouldn't be a millionaire. You know, back in the day. So he kept it a secret. He locked it up in a bank vault. People have been trying to figure it out, and they can't. Now, the people that sold the chicken knew it, but they are under contract to keep it a secret. Anytime people are deceived by the enemy, agree with the enemy, or seduced by the enemy, same thing as deception, but they believe that what they're into is going to work. See, a person that's deceived, they just don't realize that they're wrong. But a person that's seduced, they're interested in what they see the wrong things that they're doing as something good or as a meal ticket, so to speak. So people that believe deception, if you tell them what you're doing, they'll kill your idea or steal it or destroy it. And they might mean well as they do it. They may say, well, they may not see your vision and doubt you. So when you have a good idea, it's a better idea to go to the Lord and ask him how to bring it to fruition and who to talk to about it. And sometimes you can't even trust your own parents with what God is doing, or your sisters or brothers. But the Lord knows. Not saying that your parents would do you dirty. I'm just saying that sometimes that's just the case. Sometimes the Lord tell me to do things. I don't tell anybody. I wait until and I get information from him, and I ask him the first thing I do when God give me something to do is bless it. I pray for it. I know the enemy wants to stop it. I did the same thing when the Lord told me to go on the radio. I blessed it. I prayed for it. I asked God to bless the radio broadcast. And then I asked him how to go about it. And I started a business to help fund it. So I didn't want to start and stop. You don't start a work of God and quit. Jesus said, he that quits and look back, take his hands off the plow, he's not worthy. Well, you bless what God give you to do. And you contend for it. You don't let the enemy steal it, kill it, or destroy it. And then after I bless it, I protect it. And I pray for my family, because the enemy will try to bother them to get to me. You know, when the night I did my new website back in 2016, my son had a wreck. He thought he was being robbed. I mean, you know, the enemy is out there. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And anybody that's under his control, or anybody that he deceives or tempts, he can manipulate them to do what he would do. That's why people give you bad advice. That's why people tell you can't make it. But if you want to detach your life from the evil world system, now that don't mean you hate people. I want to clear that up right now. People are going to be people, but don't be offended against them. But you don't have to trust them with your best ideas. Unless God give you something to do, so to speak, the enemy wants to stop it, and he has a lot of influence in the average person. But then there are those that will love you and try to help you do it and invest in what you're doing. And those are the ones you want to deal with. See, you know, you can't deal with Satan's folk on something that's important. Or you can't deal with people. Sometimes even Christian people can be under the influence of the enemy and not know it. Because what happens is they're focused on what they want, what they're doing, how they do things. And you tell the wrong people what you're doing, they never pray, they never ask God anything about it, and they open their mouth and start giving you advice. When people do that, that's just wrong. I mean, they didn't seek the Lord. They don't have any concepts from God. They just open their mouth and start talking. But when God sends you to the person, they're going to have insights. You know, the wisdom that's from above will always protect you, because what comes from God does what God does. Jesus came to give us life, and that more abundantly. Now, that's just the way it is. When you follow God's path and you do things the Lord's way, I want to share something about the knowledge of God. He said, now this is James talking. He said that the wisdom that's from above This is James chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Now watch this. "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." But see, when people love the world, he said, the wisdom that descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and let me go back to verse 13. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." But now watch this. "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Consider these things. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." See, there's a big wide gap between the people that love God and the people that agree with the enemy. So, now, I'm saying all these things so that you'll understand the ways of God versus the ways of the tactics of the enemy. Most people wouldn't want to be fooling with the enemy, but they don't know his tactics. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. And everything on the website is free. And I just posted some new writings on the Living Letters page. That's newlivingletters.com. And check out what's new on the Living Letters page. There's so much more on audio page 6. And this broadcast is on there now in real time. Now, a lot of people they're concerned, "Well, the Lord don't talk to me." If you, my pastor, Elder Lewis, years ago, he said he had a message saying, if you get down to business with God, God will get down to business with you. The Lord loves you. He want to prove himself to you. Always remember that. He loves you and he wants to get your attention. And the Lord is motivated. If you're sincere, if you really want to know him, if you're sincere and you really want to know the Lord, he's interested in showing himself strong in your life. See, getting a person to the point where they really want to know him, that's the biggest challenge. Because the enemy, with his tactics, has groomed the world not to look to God. That's why people are so reluctant to look to the Lord. And then he give them an idea, a corrosive idea of who God is. But you can't serve God with a corrosive idea of who he is. You got to get to know him for himself. Now, when you read the word of God, you see God helping man solve problems. Jesus said, "I come to give you life and that more abundantly." Before Jesus came on the scene, he was the word of God. And from the beginning, God was trying to give life to man. He made man in the first place. He made everything perfect for him. He told him how to govern his love. He said, "So because Adam had a heart full of love," he said, "be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it." See, when you have love in you, you have God's, that's the way of God in you. The love of God in you is the way of God in you. And you will produce after your type. But see, if you don't share his love, you'll produce out in another form. But now that there's sin, we have to get rid of that. Jesus came to help us get rid of our sins. So now, once you believe on Jesus, you want to do what's right again. And so, when you get to know the Lord, man got himself in trouble, but God didn't give up on us. He helped us to get out of trouble. We were born in trouble. We were born persuaded wrong. So when you start, and little children, their spirit is lit. That's why children say things. The Lord can cause them to say things that's needful, because their spirit is attached to his spirit still. So when a man is born again, he has a new spirit. You know, some of you, when you were children, the Lord dealt with you, gave you visions and dreams. But when you went away from him, all that stopped happening. But when you're born again, all that starts back up again. So understanding God is real important. And we just showed his ways. Now, if you turn the page, James chapter 4, verse 6 says, well, let me go back a little bit. Let's go back to verse 1. James 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence because of your lust that war against your members, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war and you have not because you ask not. See, that goes back to the condition of sin. Being born in sin, you're going to try to take what don't belong to you and it's not going to work. But God would have given you whatever you wanted in over time. He will help you. He'll give you the wisdom to attain what you need to attain and do the things that's necessary that pertains to life. Verse 3 says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. And see, a lot of preachers have taught people, they found out about faith and they use it, which is good. But see, what will a man pray for? It depends on what's in his heart. If your heart is to know God, you'll pray to know God. And sometimes in this life, you need things. I understand that people pray for things they need and desire, which is fine. God gave us that ability to do. But your first prayer should be to get to know the Lord. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. See, the Lord know how to add things into your life. He didn't say that things will be multiplied. That's what people mess up. He said it'll be added. But first, you got to seek the Lord. And man being man, people being people, they're going to do what they think, what they love the most. Now, if you love the Lord, you'll be seeking him and getting to know him. Now, if you get to know him, you're going to want to get to know him more. And while as he's teaching and training you, things will be added to your life. That's how it's supposed to be. But the way people have done it is they found out they can use faith and they ask God for stuff. And to show them that, you know, the Lord, he worked with us. He blessed people, financially and with possessions, so that they'll have a reference of who he is. But they don't, at some point, you have to say, hey, wait, okay, let me get to know the Lord. And most people won't do that. They do what others do. But some people break through and they say, Lord, I want to know you. Paul said, I want to know. He said, I want to know the Lord. Paul counted all his past successes as nothing. He said, Lord, I want to get to know you. When you have that kind of sincerity, then the Lord can work with you better. And he will draw near to you. He said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. So many people are asking amiss. And they love God. I don't doubt that. But they're not trying to get to know him as a person. They let him be this mysterious stranger and they ask for things. God is not Santa Claus. God is God. He loves you. He cares about your soul. He cares about what happened to you. He wants the best in life, just like your parents, just like godly parents would, better than godly parents would. But when you ask amiss that you may consume it on your own lust, things are not going to work right. Then he said, verse 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enmity with God? Everybody that's committing adultery or just anything that's wrong, that's enmity with God. If you steal, kill, destroy, you're an enemy to God. Then he said, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So you don't want to be friends with the world system. You don't want to live the rest of your life, what's left of your life, under the illusion of the world system. You want to break through that and look and desire and learn about the things of God. You don't have to wait to heaven till you get to heaven to do that, because guess what? When you die, you don't change. Whatever your mindset is, when you at death is in life, it's the same as at death. If you change it before you die, you're gonna have a mind to know God. If you don't have a mind to know God when you throughout your days and then you die, you don't change. That don't change just because you die. And see, people, you're going to enter into eternity. If you're confused when you're in it, when you die, you're going to be just as confused when you're dead. But if you get to know the Lord before you die, you're going to understand life after you die. And remember, when you're a Christian, you don't really die. You pass. You it's a huge difference. You're gathered to your people. If you're not a Christian, if you're not in covenant with God through Jesus Christ, when you die, the demons will come and snatch you and drag you down the hell while you're kicking and screaming, and you don't want to go. It's just like that movie Ghost, but worse. But the demons the real demons are faster than that movie Ghost. You see the black figures coming up out of the street to grab the people. The real demons are fast. You ever seen a trapdoor spider? You know, when they do the nature channels, the little old bug minding his own business, he get too close, that thing grab him. That spider rapture him into that hole. That's how the spirit world really is. And I've seen people falling into hell before, and it's not, the Lord showed it to me. I don't like that. And Jesus died for every one of us. And again, I'm not angry with people because they sin. I'm not upset with you. I don't hate you because you live differently than me. I don't care what you're into. You know, I don't like drugs. I don't like the deeds of drug dealers, but I love their soul. I hate to see women prostitute themselves. That's a waste. God, they're supposed to be honoring God. This God loved them. These are God's daughters. And they're selling the essence of their life. They're selling their life for money and drugs. I hate to see people abuse themselves that way. I hate to see people think that they got to take drugs. I know the Lord can deliver them from that. And I know the Lord can change the heart of a man. And instead of hating people, he'll love them. Instead of hating women to use them as objects, he will love them and cherish them like Jesus loves them. See, the ways of God is perfect. God loves your soul. The homosexuals that, you know, they parade and they want to have a gay day and all this stuff. God loves their soul. I don't care what they're doing. I know that sin is going to hurt them. See, homosexuality is sin. It's not like the government say. It's not like what they say in Canada. See, all the people that die in their sin, they can't come back and tell you what happened. The devil is vicious, folks. And God don't hate the homosexual soul. And don't be rude to people. We're here to represent Jesus to everybody. Jesus died for everybody. But you're not going to go to heaven with sin in your bosom. You got to get rid of the sin, because you got to believe Jesus to get rid of the toxic sin. You're not taking it to heaven. I'm not going to take it to heaven. I don't want to. But see, when you believe on Jesus, you have peace. You have his peace. Peace is fellowship with God. Now, everybody that is a Christian, get to know the Lord. Draw near to the Lord and get to know him. He said, you adulterers and adulteresses, and you can put anything there, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, thieves, witchcraft, all of it. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend to the world of the world is the enemy of God. Then it says, verse 5, do you think that the scriptures saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Now watch this. But he gives grace But he gives more grace, wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Then he said, all right, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Then it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That is, verse 8 is a promise. If you get sincere and you draw near to the Lord and start and believe on him through Christ and start asking questions and saying, Lord, teach me your ways, God is definitely going to draw near to you. And he can't wait to draw near to you. He said, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double men. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Don't play with the things that's killing you. Let that kind of laughter be turned into mourning and asking God for forgiveness and understanding of what it does to you. And your joy, turn and your joy to heaviness. Rogue joy, turn, let that be heaviness. The things that gave you false pleasure, see it for what it is. Then he said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up, my friend. That's how it is. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. His return is soon. His return is imminent. And I want you to be ready, and I want you to go with him when Jesus comes. He's not interested in judging you for your past. He's interested in securing you your future in love. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. And I thank God that he is. Stay in covenant. Stay in victory.